brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.
Those qualities and characteristics that you've already instilled in your child, you're praying that those sort of come through and that, you know, he sort of falls back on those things and those traits that you've already taught him.
Hey everyone, welcome into the Football Fridays in Georgia Beyond the Lights podcast. I'm your host, Hannah Gooden. Join us each month as we pull back the curtain to find out what really goes into making high school sports in Georgia so successful. From head coaches to concession stand workers, we want to figure out how the magic is made. So today's topic is really fun. It's about football recruiting and making the transition from high school to college level ball. We have on the 2023 GPB Offensive Player of the Year, Jeremy Heklinski's mom, Amy, on today. I'm excited to talk to her about what it takes to have a scholarship level athlete, especially in football, in your house every single day. Jeremy was a starting quarterback for Walton High School. He helped lead the Raiders to a 14-1 season last year, their only loss coming in the state championship to Milton. So let's bring on Amy. First off, Amy, congrats again. I know the hard work that it takes to get Jeremy to the next level. He's already at Wake Forest being so successful, scoring 3 touchdowns in the spring game. How are you and how is he?
He's doing great. We're doing well. And we, until the spring game weekend, we had not been to Wake. So he went in January, and that was our first time visiting the school and getting to campus. So it was very exciting. And we were super thrilled that he had such a great performance on his first outing.
Well, I want to take a step back and look at his high school career from your perspective. What is it like having a scholarship level athlete in your home? What all does it take day in and day out to make him successful?
Prior to high school starting, you know, I think looking at football at the high school level, it's different. We have experienced a few other high school sports with our other kids. And I will say football is a little bit different because you don't have like that club and travel ball experience where, like, say softball and basketball and baseball, lacrosse, all, you know, all the other sports. So really, it does place a little bit more stress on that high school football season because you know that the high school season film is really where it's at. And so those 10 games, I mean, you're lucky if you get to 15, right? But those 10 games really carry a lot of weight. So, you know, just knowing, you know, that importance, it does make it a little bit unlike the other sports because, you know, you don't have the club or the travel season coming up, if you will.
So do you feel the pressure to be his PR team as well, get the huddle highlights, talk to coaches? How involved were you in the entire recruiting process?
Yeah, so interestingly, I would say very little. And probably, I mean, the primary reason for that is because of the tremendous program that Walton has to offer. And now, you know, I'm aware that not all football programs are the same, right? So I think the parent level of involvement can really vary. My personal experience, though, at Walton, because that is such a premier program, you know, one of the best in the state, if not the best, their level of involvement and just knowledge really, you know, had a tremendous impact, obviously. And then also, I think it depends on the kid. You know, you're talking about young men who are, you know, inexperienced, quite possibly immature at this age, you know, when they're being recruited as a sophomore or a junior in high school, if you will. So the parent involvement is obviously needs to be there. But from what I really learned a lot was that, you know, that recruitment, those conversations between the staff are really with the player. You know, a lot of that is on Twitter and then the phone calls that come. And, you know, you're kind of getting bits and pieces from your child and you're trying to give the best advice you can on what little information you have. But what I would say is just, you know, those qualities and characteristics that you've already instilled in your child, you're praying that those sort of come through and that, you know, he sort of falls back on those things and those traits that you've already sort of, you know, taught him over the years, I guess.
So that's interesting. He really kind of took the reins on his recruitment. What about Walton head coach Daniel Bruner? Did you talk to him a lot, or was it really between Jeremy and coach?
Yeah, no. I mean, we would have, I think there might have been like two annual recruiting meetings. Again, Walton's, you know, very thorough. And other than that, though, no. I mean, they would specifically, Coach Bruner and Coach Bumper would be talking with Jeremy. You know, it starts off, you know, it's like freshman year. You know, do you have two schools you're interested in? Let's get you to those camps. So as far as advice from like, and I'm sorry, I'm just like kind of going through and thinking back.
No, that's great.
I think your role as a parent is obviously to, you know, position your child for success and position them to be able to achieve their dream, right? And so the first fold of that, I would say, is, again, going back to high school football, really primarily being your high school season, what high school you're at is important. And so, you know, and especially as a quarterback, there can only be one, right? So in other positions too, it's important. But I think, you know, sometimes taking a risk and thinking outside of the box, whatever that might mean for your child, it could be, you know, there's lots of things that are outside of the box, in particular, you know, a reclass, or there are people who move high schools. There are people who up and move to go to a program. It could be a different state. It could be in the same state. And I'm not suggesting that this is for everyone or that everyone has this ability. But, you know, sometimes that's frowned upon. I have seen a lot of negative sort of feedback or pushback when families make those choices, Hannah. But I would say to those folks, you know, maybe they don't have a football player or they do. But again, football is different in that regard, that your high school season is it. And so I would just rather people stay in their own lane if they really don't understand when you have a high caliber player in any sport for that matter, but in particular football, you know, that you might, and as a parent and as a family, you might find yourself taking a risk. And sometimes the risk, you know, there might be speed bumps, you know, you may hit a few speed bumps along the way, but that also teaches your child too, taking risks on their skill set and their dream and their, you know, I don't know how to say, but like it can really pay off too. So that being one, and then I think, I know what I was going to say. As they're going through high school, you know, go to as many camps as your child wants to, and that you can afford, and you don't have to go out of state to these camps. But, you know, just as a rule of thumb, Jeremy's freshman year, it was like, let's pick two camps to go to. Okay. Then sophomore year, let's do four or five camps. And the high school coaches obviously help you with that. Coach Bruner and Coach Bumper really, I feel like, do a good job because they have the knowledge of sort of, you know, guiding you as to what level, what do those camps look like? Am I going to D3 camps? Am I going to, you know, Power 5 camps only? Like, what does that look like?
And this is exactly why we wanted to have you on. I love your openness and your honesty. That is, when you talked about moving for high school ball, it is so frowned upon and it's so talked about, like Buford, for example, you know, people flocking to Buford for their different sports programs and everyone's like, oh, you know, they're moving in. From a parent perspective, you are doing the best that you can do for a child that has talent. So you see talent in a child and let's try to get to a program in their vicinity in order to make them better. I like that perspective from a parent because that is so controversial. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it has been. Yeah. And I think at the end of the day, whether it's football or if athletics, it could be It could also be dance. It could be music. It could be whatever gift your child has, academics. I mean, if your kid excels at academics and you don't have a STEM academy at your high school and they need one, then, you know, by all means, if you can make that move, you might, you know, you're always going to do what's best. I think a lot of people like to point and say, oh, they're cheating or it's the easy route. If you think that these families who do things outside of the box are taking the easy route, I would beg to differ, because I have come across a lot and I'm always very supportive. I think if you ask any of the families who have been in that situation, I'm usually in their corner, you know, really supporting them and trying to combat the negativity. Again, because I see it for what it is, you know, that you're, if especially if your child has a special talent, whatever that talent is, again, I think it's our duty as parents to, again, try to set them up to achieve that dream. And that's ultimately what I would say the majority of these families are doing, right? Is, you know, simply that. They're not trying to be malicious in any way, I wouldn't say. And then the other thing as far as, recruitment. Oh, well, and then kind of going through the recruitment process is I would really urge players and parents to find or at least be ready to recognize the program that maybe shares the same values that you and your family share. And what I mean by that is, I think each college program is very different, right? They have very different coaching staffs, and things of that nature. So if, you know, if integrity and trustworthiness are two, you know, very important values, to the player and the family, you need to look for that in the coaching staff as well.
Wow. And, yeah. Might not be about the biggest and baddest school. It might be about an amazing fit for what's best for your son.
Exactly. And I think, you know, and if the number one concern or number one asset is for you to find the most, you know, dollars or potential for, you know, earnings, then that makes the process very simple. You simply go with the one that has the biggest dollar amount attached to it, right? So to me, that would be like the easiest route to go, or not the easiest route, but decision making. Right? But when you're really trying to decipher and go through the different personalities and, you know, sort of what's being said and do they say what they're going to, you know, do they do what they say they're going to do and things of that nature, that to me, I think is important for parents to help, again, these young people who don't have the life experience yet with, you know, sort of negotiations and things of that nature, and just really deciphering, you know, what it is the coaches are looking for.
I guess from a mom's perspective as well, what is your take on the NIL?
Oh, gosh. I don't really feel strongly either way. I feel like what I don't like about it is just sort of the chasing of the dollars, mm-hmm. you know, and you just sort of watch these different college programs. They get built up and they, you know, have mm-hmm. their roster mm-hmm. and like the next year could potentially be such a great year for a program. And then to have, you know, players leave, I mean, you know, and then the program sort of is dismantled.
Unstable,
or whatever.
Right? Yeah. Seems like a very unstable way to go.
Yeah. But then at the same time, I see how hard these athletes work and I have no issue with them, you know, benefiting from their talent. It's like any other talent. Right. Yeah. So, I stay out of that. Yeah. I really don't. Not the person to ask an NIL. Let me tell
you,
I'm not.
No, you are the perfect person to ask because I can tell you're so open-minded and you really see the bigger picture. So you are the perfect person to ask. And that is a great answer. I feel the same way. It goes both ways. So you are a seasoned athlete mom. You have Jackie, who played softball at Walton. She is now at Mizzou, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. You have Cooper, who's currently playing baseball at Walton. So you have seen it all when it comes to talent and athletes in your family. When it comes to Jeremy in particular, when did you know he was good? Like, was there a moment that everybody was like, okay, wait a minute, we have something here? Did a coach reach out to you? Could you just tell? I mean, your husband, Randy, also played college football as well. Was there, when was that time?
Gosh, yeah. There were a couple times. Once was around, I think it was like third or fourth grade, and we had won, Walton had won the third grade Super Bowl.
Woo-hoo!
So that was, you know, that was big time. Yeah. We thought we won the national championship, literally.
That's amazing.
So anyway, yeah, he had won that. And a gentleman who is very sort of involved in high school football, especially at Walton, reached out to Randy and gave him the name and phone number to contact for a quarterback coach. So that's when sort of the quarterback thing started, was around third and fourth grade. And so, and Jeremy's been with that same quarterback coach since that time. And then another pivotal moment, I would say the biggest moment, was in eighth grade for Jeremy, when Dan Owens was his eighth grade head coach, came in new to Walton's middle school program, and really started talking with Randy and I about Jeremy's ability to play at the next level and some things that he was seeing. And, you know, this is a gentleman who played at USC and then went on to play in the NFL. And so, yeah, the choices that our family has made in regards to Jeremy over the years really were well guided. And there were several people like the ones I just mentioned. Yeah. And, you know, and we got a lot of advice from folks, you know, that would say, well, if you do this, it could be the difference between him getting, you know, a Division I offer and a Power Five offer, you know, and these are all things you don't have a crystal ball, right? So, I mean, my advice is you definitely need to keep your eyes and ears open. And when your kid does have a special talent or a special ability, you'll know, because people, you know, those individuals who you perceive as an expert will come and reach out to you, right? And offer advice. And that's going back to taking the risk that I mentioned to you. You know, so when you have people that are reaching out and giving you these ideas, you as a parent, I think, need to thoroughly research it, you know, get all the details you can on those different topics. Again, whether it be moving or reclassing or whatever it is, but also having the grit and sort of the guts to take a risk and to follow what the professionals, if you will, are suggesting, and then also following your child's lead too. Because sometimes kids can be talented in something, but it's not their dream, right? Yeah. But if it is your child's dream, which Jeremy from a very early age has always, this has been it for him. And so that's why I think you really do listen to those, you know, people. But I will tell you this, Hannah, if I had a nickel for every time someone told me, well, let's hope he grows.
Oh, man.
So meaning all through middle school and even into high school and, you know, even, you know, throughout the recruiting process, there are, and again, depending on your position and your sport, but there are schools out there that only want a 6'4" quarterback. It, you know, doesn't matter how you, what your knowledge is, what your QBIQ, you know, is, or, you know, how good you are. So kind of just, you know, understanding that as well. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, that's not something we could really control. We couldn't add 4 inches to his height. You know? So what are we going to do? But for Jeremy, it worked out because of his, you know, knowledge of the game and, you know, his ability, his other abilities, you know, but so, yeah. And lastly, I would just say, one other thing as far as recruitment that I'm telling a lot of the younger families, you know, that come to me for advice is it just takes one.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is it really just takes one coach or one program, to have that perfect fit. So, you know, some kids get 20 and 30 offers, some get 4, and that's okay. As long as you have the one right one in there, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And not to ramble on, but my daughter, Jackie, when she was being recruited, she was only being looked at by like high academic Division III programs, which was very different than, you know, what we've experienced with Jeremy. you know, the Division One is just a lot more intense and just a lot, it's just under the spotlight more, I feel like.
Yeah. Do you remember what some of those points of interest people were telling you about? Obviously, you guys didn't move. Do you remember some of the other things that they were like, you have to do these things in order for him to get Power Five looks?
Another piece of advice that we got was nothing matters until junior year, which I found very interesting.
Very interesting.
Okay, so hear me out. Okay. That is not my quote.
Yeah.
That's not my quote, but I actually believe it. I do believe it to be true. And I am sharing that to try to calm the nerves of parents of freshmen and sophomores. Mm-hmm. So it's like freshman and sophomore year, you know, you're going into the high school program. Where do you fit in? How is my child stacking up? There can be a lot of anxiety surrounding that, right? Because, you know, of course, your kid is the best. Yeah. And, you know, you think your kid should be starting varsity or whatever. But what I will say is this, and this is easy for me to say now that I'm on the other side, but I think the more patience you can have with the process, probably the better off you'll be. And I'm not saying it's abnormal to be feeling a little anxious those first 2 years of high school. But what I will say is the cream always rises to the top. And I think if your child just keeps their head down and keeps working and is a good teammate and is coachable, and, you know, don't let your anxiety shine through, you know, sort of seep into all of that. Because this is why, if your child does play at the next level, you're still going to have all of that same competition for playing time, right? Like, how do you compete in college for the starting role? And same for the parents. You're going to have to exude that same level of patience because you're at the bottom of the totem pole again, right? So it's kind of like starting over again. And just having, having faith in the process, you know? And that's, again, easy for me to say now, but...
So I guess there's no feeling of like, we did it. You know, he's at Wake. We did it. Like the complete weight lifted off your chest, I guess, doesn't exist because now you have to keep being patient and you have to start all over. I mean, is there some sort of relief that he did make it D1, or are you still just on the edge of your seat just like before?
Okay, so that's interesting that you say, yeah, you know. So I think it's just like the process is starting over. But here's what I will say, two things. And I don't want to forget the second one. But the first is the difference between D3, you know, the whole D3, D1 thing. My biggest piece of advice is, yes, we're so proud of Jeremy, right, for playing D1 football and for that Power Five. And that is a big deal. I don't want to diminish that at all. But really, from our perspective and having already gone through it with our daughter, Jackie, I feel like the athletes will sort of end up where they belong and where they should be. And do you want to be in a situation that you're in over your head, or, you know, so all the while Jeremy and, you know, Randy and I were really focused on where he could actually contribute. Mm-hmm. And, you know, play. And it was never, I will tell you, for Jeremy, and again, every kid is different, but for Jeremy, it was never about how many Power Five offers can I get? And, you know, here's my post with my 20 offers. He didn't have 20 offers, by the way, but, you know, I think, and that depends on the person, that depends on the family. If that's important, you know, the number of offers you're getting, or, you know, again, you know, how much potential earnings you have. For Jeremy, the love of the game was truly what was leading his decision making, was his love to play. And he absolutely would not have gone somewhere where he may have sat, not sat, I don't mean that, but just, you know, kind of been
No, yeah.
It may have been out of his reach. And he it would, if something was out of his reach, you know, and he would specifically say, you know, because I would say, well, wait a second. What if, I can't remember, you know, what if, I'm trying to think of what the, I don't even know an example to give, but like, you know, what if like a UGA or LSU or so, you know, one of the, at that time, like mm-hmm. one of the hottest teams, you know, the biggest and best came in and offered you right now, you know, and he was like, I don't think so, because I don't, I probably wouldn't ever get to play there. You know,
and you want to play, so you want to play college ball. Like that's why you've worked so hard. So I love,
exactly.
I love this yep. Point of view and perspective. It's very refreshing. Your second point, you didn't want to forget your second point.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So my second point was, as far as just the transition, a big thing for Jeremy is loyalty and trustworthiness. It's also, you know, obviously important to us too. But when he made his choice and he committed to Wake December of junior year, you know, there was also a lot of negative talk about that. Like, why did you commit so soon? You shouldn't have committed that early. You're going to get a lot of better offers. You know, what if you end up playing in the state championship your senior year, which we did, but, you know, so there was like kind of criticism there that, you know, he pulled the trigger too soon, but, he unequivocally did not. Like he knew, and that was one of the things I was going to say about when you're sort of looking at the different styles of coaches and their recruiting style, you know, you get to know the coaches. And I think you can tell right away their level of integrity and, you know, sort of the trustworthiness. And so what I was going to say to that was, by the time I got to know the coaches, it was so abundantly clear that Jeremy had made the right choice, because I felt and I could see that level of integrity with Coach Clausen and Coach Ruggiero and the entire Wake staff, not to sound so cliche, you know, but I will say too, it's kind of like, you know, God's plan for your, you know, for Jeremy was always in place. And so, you know, really just trusting in that plan. But also the transition now has been a breeze, Hannah. That was the one thing I wanted to
That makes sense.
So now when he went off in January, we didn't go back to Winston-Salem until April for the spring game. You know, the things I was worried about, like, new, you know, his well-being and his health, you know, and he gets to Wake and the nutritionist, Tiffany, there, they did everything they said they were going to do. And here he is 24 pounds heavier. The football staff, you know, everything's because they checked the boxes early on in the recruiting process. I have not had to worry about anything. I haven't had to worry about the football aspect. I haven't had to worry about, you know, that whole nutrition, well-being aspect. And then the academic side. Obviously, you're worried about academics too as a mom. And at the spring game, I got to meet his tutor. Her name is Drew. And Jeremy was beaming with pride. And because I saw her walk up to Jeremy and she was ecstatic for his performance. And so my whole family, we were like, who is this? You know, and Jeremy introduced us to her. And, you know, she just went on and was saying the strides and just how well he's doing the things he's supposed to be doing in the classroom and for her and, you know, all the things. And that doesn't mean getting straight A's, you know, especially at Wake Forest, which is just, you know, such a tremendous academic school to be at. So again, I'm being very honest when I say the worries that I probably might have had, I have not felt that way at all because of what I got to find out during, you know, that recruitment process.
Yeah. And choosing the
school.
You
know, and that kind of thing. Yeah, you just really know that you're at the right spot. Yeah. So.
And lastly, we know Jeremy's success is just starting at Wake Forest, but did he feel any sort of disappointment on missing out on the prom or walking in graduation? Was there any sort of emotional toll that leaving early and getting to Wake took on him? Because he invested his entire high school career in the Walton program. And, you know, he's off doing bigger, better things, but I'm sure all of his buddies were still, you know, at the prom.
Yes. No, so he did do prom junior year. Okay. And we knew at that point that he was going to graduate early. Okay. So we kind of blew it out that year and did like all the things. Yeah. And then he is going to walk in graduation.
Amazing. So
graduation is in May. And so all most of the boys, I think all of our early enrollees are getting to come home for the month of May.
I love that.
And I'm pretty positive that every single one of them is going to walk in graduation. And for Jeremy, no, he was ready. And yeah, he was ready to be at, you know, really wanting to be at college. And he has not complained at all. I mean, like, it besides being tired and just how much, you know, the work of everything and getting up, you know, early 5:30 mornings, you know, and all that, there's been no complaints. So he's super happy. Thank you for asking.
Well, I have to say, good job, Mom. You have done amazing with Jeremy and Jackie. You've got Cooper still in high school. So I am so excited that we got to talk today from the mom perspective. I'm a mom of twin 2-year-olds. So I've got, I'm taking notes too. I'm going to save this podcast and like listen to it in 16 years.
God.
14 years.
Don't hold me to anything.
So thank you for being so open and honest about all things when it comes to football and high school athletics. And we really, really appreciate it.
Sure. Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
We'll be back with another episode of Football Fridays in Georgia Beyond the Lights and our regular football podcast with John Nelson and I in just a couple of weeks. Don't forget, you can watch the video version of all of our podcasts on the GBB Sports YouTube channel. Thanks for listening.
Brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.